Somebody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. And if you would stand, we stand in honor and respect and reverence of the word of the Lord. And it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.'" Verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And what's that name?
Jesus.
"Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Verse 18, I don't know if I gave this to you, Sister Tori, and it says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." Huh. Verse 20, the apostle Peter said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You're telling me that I can't, but you can't tell me not to talk about what I've seen and what I've heard. And I want to talk about, I can't help it. I can't help it. Tell your neighbor, I can't help but give God the glory in this place, because I've seen it, I've heard it, and I felt it. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you as you are seated. The book of Acts is an amazing book. It tells us of the Acts of the Apostles. You know, there are some things that we as individuals just can't help it. We just can't help when mama's in the kitchen cooking and making cookies, and she turns her back and that cookie dough sitting there in the pot. You just can't help but walk by and just grab a little bit with your finger or a spoon and just kind of walk out like everything's all, you just can't help it. Just can't help it when somebody makes you a tamale and you know, you're trying to do good on a diet. You just got like, it's a tamale, you know, I have dominion over it. Therefore, I must eat it in Jesus' name. I prayed over it. Just can't help it. Just can't help it. When you see somebody in need and you're able to help them, you just can't help but want to help them. You just can't help it. It's kind of like at Revival Tabernacle. You know, we're always doing things to help one another inside the church and outside. We just can't help it. That's who we are. But the book of Acts is filled with such testimonies of healing and miracles and blessings and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. The book of Acts gives us a accurate account of the birth and the growth of the church, of the early church, the church that we are a part of today. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that when you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is our beginning. This is our heritage and our foundation. The book of Acts was written by the beloved physician Luke, and Luke writes with such detail. If you read Luke's gospel and compare that to Matthew and to Mark and to John, Luke is very detailed. He was very educated. Luke traveled with the apostle Paul, but when he's writing, he's very specific. As an educated physician, he obviously had a much bigger vocabulary, but he wrote with much detail. He allows us to be a part as we read it of what was taking place there in the early church. Our scripture text this morning is very, very powerful. In fact, in the book of Acts. It starts out in Acts chapter 1 where Jesus tells them to tarry here in Jerusalem until you receive the promise that will come. And so the 120 approximately stayed in Jerusalem, and they tarried and they stayed there, and they begin to pray. They begin to replace the team. There, obviously, Judas had betrayed Jesus. And so then they drew lots and they begin to replace the team, to equip the team to further the gospel. And there was women and there was men and there was lay ministry. And then there's the apostles that were there, the key components that what we would see as the apostolic church was birthed, the Pentecostal church was birthed. And so when you read our scripture text of Acts chapter 4, you have to read Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3, and 4 together, because it's a story that works together. It's a compilation. You can't read what took place in Acts chapter 4 without reading Acts chapter 3. It's a continuation. And so we get to our scripture text, and it's just a few chapters removed from the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and then the preaching of the Apostle Peter and the Acts 2:38 message in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Peter declares repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then we get to Acts chapter 3, and Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. It's the ninth hour. So that means it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so, obviously they like to pray in the afternoon. So there's some Bible for some of you. So, Pastor, I'm not like you in the morning to pray in the morning. I'm going to be like Peter and John. I'm going to pray in the afternoon. That's all right. Pray. Praise them in the morning, in the noontime, and the evening time. And so they go to the hour of prayer, and they're walking, and as before, they enter into the area by the gate, beautiful. And you know, the gate has to be beautiful for it to be called beautiful. And there laid a man that was lame from his mother's womb. He was lame. The scripture says he was impotent, and he was there. He had no power. He couldn't walk. And they laid him there daily at the temple, and he's asking for alms. And it was, this scripture setting would allow us to assume that he was not somebody that was there once in a while, but he was somebody there, as the scripture said, that lay daily. And so it was not uncommon for people to see him and to put money in his basket, for example. And it was common. It was a form of religious piety for those folks in those days going to the temple to give money to those that were in need at that time. And Peter and John, are walking into the temple, and the man's asking for alms, and the apostle Peter looks at him and says, "Hey, look at us." And the man looks at him hoping to receive something. And the apostle Peter says, "Hey, I don't have any money." And I'm paraphrasing. "I don't have any money, but what I do have." And he reaches out and he grabs him by his hand, and he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The scripture says, and immediately, tell your neighbor, immediately, he gets up and he's healed and he's got strength in his legs, and he gets up and leaping and praising God, he goes into the temple, and everybody sees it. Everybody's familiar with this man's crippling, and they're in awe, and they're like, "Wow, that dude was crippled." I'm paraphrasing and I'm adding to it. But be just like us, saying, "That's the same dude. I put a dollar in his basket, 20 bucks. We gave him a turkey. Thanksgiving. Project Thanksgiving. We blessed them. And look what happened. Wow." And then the crowd gathers together. And the apostles are standing there at Solomon's porch. And the apostle Peter, he begins to preach. He begins to rebuke. Tells them, "You know, you crucified the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. You did it in ignorance." And then he goes on to say that times of refreshing shall come in the presence of the Lord, and talks about repentance. And then we get to the end of Acts chapter 3. I'm going somewhere. I'm just building a foundation. We get to the end of Acts chapter 3, and into the beginning parts of Acts chapter 4, where ultimately Peter and John were arrested. Because the who's who of the religious world, the city leaders and the religious people were offended. They were upset because these apostles were preaching and teaching and doing miracles, and God was doing things and things were happening. And so they arrest them and they put them in jail and they hold them there because it was at night. And by this time, what started with 120 had grown to 5,000. Mm-hmm. Scripture tells us that's very clear. It had grown to 5,000. And so, you could not deny what took place. And so we get to our scripture text and so this lame man is standing there with the apostles. The scripture tells us in Acts 4:22, for the man was above 40 years old in whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now, if that was you and daily you were laid at the temple and you were lame, from birth, or you were lame from an early age, and this happened, you'd be really excited. You'd be walking everywhere. You'd be walking on chairs saying, look at me, look what the Lord has done. And can I tell you, that's why we get excited when the Lord fills people with the Holy Ghost and people's lives are changed and impacted. We say, I can't help it, because if you knew their story, if you knew what God had brought them from, you couldn't help but worship and praise and give God the glory for what He's done in their life. I said it the other day, you see my glory, but you don't know my story, baby. You don't know how I was addicted and about to lose my mind. You don't know the trials and the triumph that God has brought me through. I can't help but worship and praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's the power of the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus to heal and to save and to deliver and to forgive and to restore and to satisfy the void that is in your heart. I can't help as a preacher get up on Sunday morning and tell you, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, that if God saved me, God can save you. If He healed somebody of lupus last year and high blood pressure and diabetes and fibromyalgia in this building, He can heal you this morning. I can't help it. I get excited when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me. If you ever doubted that God can heal, we have a room full of people that can testify that not only have I seen it, but I'm an evidence of the healing power and miraculous touch of a God that heals. He said, I am the God that healeth. We're testimony. Somebody say, I'm a testimony of Isaiah 53:5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my neighbor's peace, of our peace, was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. That's why I stand up here with excitement and passion and anointing to tell you that you can be healed today of mind, body, soul, spirit, in the name of Jesus. Can't help it. I can't help it. The power of the name of Jesus. Can anybody testify about the healing power of the name of Jesus? I know we got insurance, and I know we got doctors and nurses, and they're professionals, and their reports are right, their reports are accurate, but we respect them, and we love them, and we need them, and they minister. We got them amongst us. They're not just doctors, but they minister to people throughout the week. But can I tell you, we got a God in heaven that can heal things that none of us see. Some of the hardest things to heal from are the emotional scars and hurts and words that people say and do. You can't put a band-aid on that, but you got to say, God, would you heal me of a broken heart? Would you heal me of a broken spirit, oh God? Would you heal my mind? I can't help but tell you and to preach to you and to tell you that if God did it for me, God can do it for you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This 40-year-old lame man was healed. He was healed from his lameness. You can be healed this morning from your lameness.
Yeah.
You can be healed today from the thing that has crippled you emotionally and physically and spiritually. Things that has laid you down, that has plagued you for a while. You can be healed of that today, because just at the mention of his name, it wasn't the holiness of Peter and John. It wasn't by any great power that they had from themselves physically, but it was because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice what the scripture said, and Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost begin to preach and begin to minister. Can I tell you, the scripture says that you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Acts 1:8, when you begin to read that, the power, when you break that down in the Greek, what that means is dunamis. You shall receive dunamis. What that is, dunamis, is dynamite. It's explosive. It means that when you get the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, you receive that explosive power of God. That's the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead that lives in you. I can't help but get excited when I get around God's people and they're spirit filled and they're filled with the Holy Ghost and we get together. It's like an explosion went off. It's like a power explosion. And overlord, there's people in this place that you long for the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, His Holy Spirit, this morning, if you let Him. He'll bless you. The Holy Ghost is powerful. The scripture says it'll lead you and guide you. It's the comforter. It's the power of God that lives in us. That's why you can see people that they're obviously going through something, but they still got a smile on their face and they're still giving in the offering and they're still teaching Bible studies and they're still going to the hospital visiting people and their world's falling apart. It's because they know that greater is He that is, that is in me than he that is in the world. It's the power. It's the power. And so we get to our scripture setting and they tell Peter and John, they call them on the carpet and they present them to the officials and they say, by whose authority are you doing what you're doing? By whose name, by whose authority are you preaching and healing and teaching? And what is it that you're doing? And the scripture says that notice Luke's writing. He says that they perceive that they knew that, well, they're ignorant and unlearned. Oh yeah, they didn't go to seminary. That's clear. We know that because just a couple chapters ago, that Peter was cussing.
Come on.
Let's be real. I mean, how would you like that if yesterday pastors, you know, out there cussing and I'm coming in here preaching?
Come on.
Real talk. You have a problem with that? This place would empty out, right? Should, my opinion. But he was a fisherman. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't have no PhD. Well, he might have. He might have had a public high school diploma. Anybody got one of those? PhD from the streets? Hard times? Rough times? Right? Been through a lot. I got experience. I got the paper to tell you. To let them start printing it out. We might be here a while. They say they were ignorant and unlearned. But notice what it says in Acts 4. It says, but they perceived that they had... But they knew that they had been with Jesus. That's powerful. Can somebody say that about us?
Yes. Come on.
Can somebody say that about you? That you've been with Jesus? How do they know you've been with Jesus? Well, can they see it? Because we could tell somebody we've been with Jesus. But can they see it? Remember what the scripture says, that we cannot deny what we've seen and what we've heard. See, I know there's folks that they know all the hymns, but they don't know Him. I hope that's nobody. I know nobody in this church like that, right? But do we know Him? It says that they were ignorant and learned, but they had been with Jesus. They had power. They had authority. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you look down at Acts chapter 4, down at the very, very, very end of the scripture setting, you'll see that they begin to pray and the place was shaken. Let me ask you, when was the last time we prayed individually, collectively, and the place was shaken? Where things that, what can be shaken, shall be shaken. I wonder when was the last time we prayed and said, you know, Lord, I know we've gathered in for a prayer meeting on Thursday. I know the ladies gathered together at tea, and I know the men will get together at men's retreat, and the kids will get together on Sunday. But I wonder what would happen when I begin to pray, would the place be shaken? And it shakes my problems. It shakes my situations. It shakes the house that I'm in. And if there's anything not rooted to holiness or rooted to godliness or not rooted to Him, it will be destroyed. I can't help it but get in the presence of the Lord and begin to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I can't help it. I can't help it. You see, the apostles were called out. They were arrested. Peter says, hey, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name. For there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The scripture is very clear. They couldn't say that what took place with the healing of the lame man didn't happen. They couldn't say that. Just like some of your friends and family members and coworkers can't say, well, I was addicted, but man, the Lord has transformed my life.
Yeah.
I was headed on a road to nowhere. I was a nobody going nowhere. But I can't help to help somebody that was going down the same road. Help them. I can't help not coming to church and make room in my row for somebody that's
right.
New to the church.
Right.
And say, sit with me.
Yeah.
Worship with me. Here, use my Bible.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll buy you a Bible next week.
Yeah.
It may be a dollar store Bible, but it's still the Word of God. It's still the powerful Word of God. Notice in Acts 4:15, and these men commanded them to go aside out of the council, and they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men, for that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. You can't help it that you've been blessed and set free.
Amen.
And you're living for the Lord and God's hand of blessings. You can't help it. You can't help it when you come in here and you want to give God glory because He's done so much for you. You cannot begin to tell it all. You can't help it when you walk into the office tomorrow and say, what'd you do? Well, I went to church and we had a great time. And guess what? You ought to come with me. Well, I'm not into church. Well, I'm not into church either. I'm into relationship with the Creator of the world. I just happen to go into church that loves people and preaches the truth and lives according to the Word of God. I can't help it when you ask me how I go through it and how I end up with a smile. I can't help but just tell you that God is my rock. He is my strength. He is the source of all that I am. I can't help but seek ye first the kingdom of God because His Word is true. Notice Acts 4:17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Really? But and I know there's several here amongst us that have had the privilege and the opportunity to travel abroad or live in other countries. They don't have the freedom of religion like we have. So you've may, by exception, have fallen into this category where you may have been threatened because you've had a Bible or how you worship or pray when you're outside the USA, but not too many of us have in this building have told us that we're threatened by the government to not worship or pray or preach or teach about the name of Jesus. I wonder how we would react to that. Verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. It was a commandment. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Are we supposed to listen to you or to God?
Right.
Woo-hoo. Can't help it, but you're dust. And the breath you just took was a gift from God.
Yeah.
Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amplified version says, but we ourselves cannot help telling what we have seen and heard. Isn't that just like the adversary? Try to threaten you and intimidate you? You know, your devil, the devil, your adversary, walketh around seeking who he may devour. Doesn't say he actually eats anybody or bites them, right? He's just looking. Who can I devour?
Yeah.
Look at you. Telling you. What are you trying to win, the Soul Winner of the Year award? Look, you trying to sing. You sound like a dog howling, trying to sing. I can't help it. You tell him I can't help it. The Bible says in Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Come on, somebody. I can't help it. But when we gather in the presence of the Lord, that's why some people lift their hands. Other people shout. Other people clap. Other people sit there, wave their hands and stomp their feet and smile. And they're expressing themselves unto God. Sure, the scripture says, do all things decent and in order. And there's got to be order. But can I tell you, you can be in your car giving God the glory and giving God the praise. You can be in another country on assignment and still give God the glory and give God the praise. The devil is a liar. He always has been. You serve the Lord anyways. Devil trying to tell your adversary. I like the word the adversary. Trying to tell you that, oh, you went down to the altar. You prayed. But that's only going to last for 2 weeks. Hey, if that means I got to come down to the altar every 2 weeks and get a breakthrough and pray through, and that's what it, and I gotta crawl towards heaven. I'd rather crawl than stop moving or quit or backslide or give in. I'm gonna do everything I can. I can't help it. I wanna get to heaven. I'm gonna do everything I can to get to heaven. You may stumble. You may fall. That's not a, I'm not giving you a way out or an excuse or a license to after this service to go out and do something. Say, well, Pastor, I'm going to go out and do this and then I'm going to come back tonight. You're going to pray for me and it's all going to be good. No, because him that knoweth to do good and do it not good, to him it is sin. But if you stumble and you fall, you get back up. The scripture says, for a just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. You may get weary. You may get frustrated. You may be a little bit cranky. Micah 7:7 says, therefore I will look to the Lord of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. Can I tell somebody, you're rising up right now in Jesus' name. You're getting back up and you're moving forward. You're moving forward in the name. I can't help but be excited for you when I see you getting back up. See, the devil thought he had you down, but you were getting back up from praying and saying, in Jesus' name, we shall overcome because we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Don't hate on me. Help me.
Yeah.
Why do you keep helping them? They've reached the limit of their long suffering. Give up already. Why do you keep adding them to the prayer list? That gets old. We know already what name's going to be on the prayer list. Pastor, why do you keep sending them cards? Why do you keep going standing in the line to get prayer? Come on already. Go talk to Dr. Walker and get a prescription and deal with it. Devil is a liar.
Yeah.
We don't give up on each other because he hasn't given up on us. Come on, somebody. Because I serve a God that hasn't given up on me. Neither has he given up on you, baby. I can't help but want to help people be disciples and be steadfast and get to heaven. I too was lost, backslidden, but I had a mom in a little church in Los Banos that didn't give up on me, and you better be glad they didn't give up on you, because I wouldn't be here preaching and pastoring if it wasn't for my mama and that little church in Los Banos. Can I tell you, I can't help but see backsliders and say, you know what, that was me 20 years ago, but thanks be to God, I got the power and the victory in Jesus' name. God hasn't stopped loving me. He hasn't forgotten about me.
No.
I've seen too many miracles.
Yeah.
I've seen too many baptisms. I've seen too many people healed and blessed and God deliver them. I've seen too many people. A year ago on Wednesday, Sister Ruthie, I got a note. I still have the note that said, Sister Ruthie's not going to, maybe don't look too good. But guess what? She's right here. The devil is a liar. I can't stop. I can't stop. I won't stop. Call me crazy, baby, but I serve a God that is alive and well, and His name is Jesus. He knows my name. I've been to a lot of places, Mr. Anderson, and I feel out of place. They don't know my name. Can I tell you, of the 7 billion people in the world, He knows my name. Yeah. How you like that? He knows your name too. He sees your heart. He sees your struggle. He knows your pain. But He knows your name. Can't help tell you. Give your life to Jesus. And if you've given your life to Jesus, do everything you can to make Him known and to serve Him with all you've got, with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, to love Him, to love your brother. If you love Him, keep His commandments. I can't help but to preach and to tell somebody that it's never too late. You may have fallen from grace, but guess what? God's grace and mercy is sufficient for you. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. Lamentations 3:23. They are new every year. You start out with the full cut on January 1. And it's got to last you to the last day of the year. Yeah. Why do we live our life that way? You would think, right? The way some people live. Oh, ran out of mercy. We got more mercy, but ran out. No. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Somebody said it. All the days. They are new. Every morning, great is thy, if that doesn't excite you, I can't help it. You may need to pray through, baby. But I'm so glad for the mercies of the Lord that are renewed every single morning. Great is His faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. The early church started out with fire. It had such a momentum and a power that was a result of unity and prayer, and it spread. The church was born in the fire. And I know it's a cliche, but it is true. So we can't tolerate the smoke. We need the fire. And neither do we need strange fire.
No.
We need the real fire of the power of God.
Amen.
That's burning in our souls.
Amen.
A fire, like the old prophet of old said in Jeremiah 20:9, that I said, I would not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones, for I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. That means this fire was consuming me inside that I couldn't hold it in. I just had to tell somebody about my testimony. I just had to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. When I read the scriptures and I see the book of Acts and I say, wow, it doesn't end with an amen like most of the New Testament does, or a so be it, but it just kind of leaves us hanging about Paul being on house arrest. It leads me and it makes me understand that I am part of the Book of Acts Church, and we are the continuance of the Book of Acts Church. I can't but get excited and say, I can't help it. If they saw miracles and blessings and lives change, if they were united and continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, how much more us today in 2019 with technology and cars and education in this postmodern world? Can you imagine? Seriously, listen. Could you imagine what the apostles would have been able to do in our day and age? Frightening. Because it says they turned the world upside down. No internet. No radio. No social media. Ignorant and unlearned. No air conditioning. No airplanes. How much more us today can we be disciple makers? Can we be disciple makers? I'm asking, can we be disciple makers? Can we be steadfast in our worship and say, you know what? I don't have to sneak in like we heard last year at missions conference to church 2 hours ahead and wait there and pretend that we're there for a birthday party or a wedding, but we could come to, I'm not mad, just using, we can come to church late. Nobody's going to say anything. I don't have to wear a suit. I can come dressed how I want, as long as it's pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. I can sit there. Pastor's going to preach, and I can pray, and I can go home, and I don't have to worry that somebody's going to come banging on my door and get me and throw me in the jail. Because that happens all the time in other countries. I can't help but say, you know what? I'm going to get into the presence of the Lord. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to love Him. I'm going to give Him all the glory. And I'm going to bring somebody, or I'm going to tell somebody about it, so they can too have the experience of the power of God in their life. Somebody say amen. If you look at the common denominators of the revival of the early church, you'll see some of the progression that took place because of prayer, because of unity, and because of being steadfast. It was all coupled together with doctrine. You got to have doctrine, and you got to have worship. But these folks were united. They're always praying. Faithfulness and steadfastness is not a word that you hear about much outside the church. But in our postmodern times, we use words like loyalty, committed, dedicated, and reliable. I'm thankful today that I'm part of an apostolic Pentecostal church in Santa Maria, California, that has some loyal, faithful, dedicated, committed people that are going to be steadfast in seeing our world changed and impacted because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm also glad and happy and privileged that the early church didn't crumble, didn't fall apart. When some of them were martyred and killed, burned alive, boiled alive, crucified upside down, that they didn't quit when Paul and Silas were in jail, that they didn't quit when Jesus died on the cross, but they were witnesses of Him being resurrected and walking, and they were witnesses of the Holy Ghost. I'm so excited today to be part of a wonderful church family that some of you have gone through some tough times in 2018, and maybe 2019 hasn't started out the way you want. But can I tell you, I can't help but tell you, this too shall pass, and greater days are up ahead. And if God healed you before, God can heal you today. If God blessed you before, God can bless you today. That you've not seen your best days, but our best days are coming when we all get to heaven. The early church kept the fire going. Little pockets of fire in homes, and little pockets of fire in the temples, in the jailhouse. Some of you don't know this, but we got a little pocket of fire in the jailhouse. We had 8 brothers gathered together yesterday, Brother Guzman teaching and preaching to them at Lompoc FCC. We got folks that they can't be here with us, but we're sending disciples to go make more disciples. I can't help but testify about the goodness of the Lord. Little pockets of fire on missionary journeys, on ships in the wilderness, in times of peace and in times of war, in cities, in the wilderness. No, everything was perfect. No, not everything was all good. There was trouble, but they continued steadfast. The same power and the same authority that we see in the Book of Acts We have that today.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
What an honor. What a revelation when we begin to realize that, wow, we are continuing steadfast. How convicting. Are we doing enough? People are still being pricked in their hearts. As it was on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. They asked the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized in the same day. They were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That was right before our scripture text. That was powerful. How many of you have had the same Acts 2:38 encounter?
Amen.
The same power that resided in the Apostle Peter resides in you as the musicians come.
Amen.
You have a promise.
Amen.
Unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 tells us, for a few of the promises of God in him are yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us.
Amen.
We got to be workers.
Yes.
In the kingdom. Jesus tells us in Matthew 16 and 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I get excited when somebody wants to get baptized.
Yeah.
I get excited when I hear about miracles and testimonies and lives being changed and impacted. Crystal, it makes me want to rejoice.
Yeah.
It makes me want to say, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
To you be all the glory.
Amen.
To you be all the honor. I can understand and relate to what the Apostle Peter writes later on in 1 Peter 1 and 8, that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can't help it. But want to give the devil a migraine when I walk in here.
Yeah,
and just stomp on him a little while and say, you know what? You've been causing trouble for somebody. I can guarantee it. I'm just going to give you a migraine just because I can in Jesus' name. I'm going to dance all over him. I'm going to give God the glory anyways.
Amen.
Because I can. Because he's been good to me. Tell somebody, excuse me a moment. I'm going to worship the Lord.
Amen.
I can't help it. I got to worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Because he deserves all the glory.
Yes, he does.
And all the honor and all the praise. I feel a little Sunday night anointing on me this morning to tell somebody that you can't help what you've gone through, but neither can you help about what you're about to break through and experience the blessing if you would just stay steadfast in Jesus' name. You say, you know what? I'm going to worship during my trial because I'm going to praise after the trial.
Yeah.
Worship is because of who he is. Praise is for what he has done. You worship him because he's God, and you praise him for what he's doing in your life.
Amen.
Can we lift our hands unto the Lord? I know what the lawyer said. The lawyer's right. He didn't make a mistake. He knows what he's doing. Think about that. But we serve a God in heaven that can change things. Isaiah 9 and 6, it says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Yeah. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Come on, somebody. He's the ultimate attorney. He's the ultimate attorney. Well, you don't know the charges they got racked up. He's the ultimate attorney. But it's a three striker. He's the ultimate attorney. Well, you don't know what the banker said. I'm bankrupt. My credit's shot. I got no money. Work is slow. The hours got cut. But you know what? I can't help it. But the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your fierce bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. I can't help but tell you, I know the financial struggle and resources you're going through. It's tough. But it says, give or seek, and He's going to bless you. I don't know. I can't explain it. But what I can tell you, and I can't help but tell you, just be faithful. Just be steadfast this morning.
Yeah.
We would stand this morning. Scripture says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I can't explain it. How that we could walk in with all this stuff weighing us down. I can't help it. When we lay it down, there's liberty. I can tell you, if you don't lay it down, You will be oppressed and suppressed and depressed, and you will have a bad day. But if you lay it down, it's all good. It's all great. He'll take care of it. I can't help but challenge you this morning to make your way to the altar and give yourself to the Lord. Let Him fill you with the Holy Ghost. Draw closer to Him. I can't help to tell you at an altar call that we should all be praying and talking to Jesus. I can't help to tell you that if you need deliverance, God can deliver you. If your mind has been kind of out of focus, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I can't help it. I can't help your past, but I can help your future by preaching and teaching you the Word of God. Would you come? Would you find a place to pray? Would you create an altar call experience this morning? Spirit, the power of God is here to help the change.
Spirit breakout.
Oh, Spirit breakout, Spirit breakout.
Oh, break our walls down.
He's going to bless somebody this morning. It might as well be you. Deliver somebody, it might as well be you.
Heaven come down.
He wants to fill somebody with unspeakable joy. Why not you? Why not today?
The sound of heaven touching us.
He knows your name.
Jesus.
Why not you? Lord, why not you?
Your name we're lifting high. Lord, glory.
Save yourself.
Shaking
from this uncorked
the earth.
Earth. Bless him right now.